liberty will be a blessing beyond the liberty walls. This is for other churches, it's for the people in the cities, in the city. It's for people, even there's people coming from as far as Donegal that have booked in. And it's just a tremendous opportunity for us to be a blessing to other people. And this conference is it's built around Ephesians 4. It's great, isn't it? Honestly, the noise of babies crying, kids running around, it means we're alive. We're not afraid of sound. We're not afraid of noise in this place. And they just, yous all go out. We're not afraid of that. That means we're growing. We're alive. There's a sound of life. It's really, really brilliant. It's great to have little Daniel just letting us know that he's here, isn't it? Yep. Ephesians 4:11 says that Jesus gave gifts to the church. And there's five gifts mentioned. There's apostles and prophets. There's evangelists and pastors and teachers. And these ministries and these offices are there to equip the church and to bring the church to maturity. In fact, one of the words he uses when you read down after Ephesians 4:11, it says, so that the church can grow into the full stature of who we are in Christ. And when I read that stuff and I see and I've studied and I've researched this stuff for years, and it's a passion of mine that for years and years and years and years and even hundreds of years, we've had two of those gifts in operation. We've had pastor and teacher. And them other three gifts have been here or there, or certainly they've not been recognized. And even some belief systems believe that they're not even around today. But I don't believe that. But I do believe this, that if they're there for the church to grow into the full maturity and into full measure of Christ, that they're fully, fully needed for us to be all that we're supposed to be as the church. Wouldn't you agree? And the way I've looked at it is, if we were a soccer team, a football team, that it's like for years we've had two defenders and we've no strikers. But God, all around the world, is emerging and bringing out to the fore the other gifts in the body. And these gifts of apostles and prophets is what this conference is being built on over the next world. Because the Bible says that they're the foundations. And they lay the foundations for the rest. So we have people coming in that we have recognized as apostolic people. Apostolic leaders. And then there's also a prophetic team coming down from the north of Ireland that have been with us before. And everyone's excited about lots of things, but the prophetic element of it is exciting for me. On the Saturday in the afternoon, there will be just a whole couple of hours of just this team ministering to people and like soaking in God's presence in prophetic worship, and also in them guys bringing prophetic words into our lives. And that's enough alone for you to come. But it's a build on. It's something that we're building for the future, and we're going to continue to build on this. So don't miss it. At all, if you can possibly make it, book in, like people yesterday, one of the lads was freaking, saying to me, Noel, is there any tickets left? Because there's only about 170 seats in the city that we can put out. So please get online, see myself after, see Rob, ring the office, get on the website, and you can book in from there, and they'll send you a ticket on the email, all the things. So be blessed. Amen? Amen. I feel like crying again. But we're going to go for a few minutes. We're going to continue with the whole series of God of the Elements. And God in the scriptures, what we've been looking at is that the seasons in our lives, the seasons that we go in, the seasons that God leads us in. And for some reason, I've been thinking, it doesn't matter how you enter into your season. It's what you get out of it before you get out of it that matters. Some people enter in through great blessing. I was talking to a girl this week who last April, the Lord spoke to her at the Dream Conference and says that you're going to be a pastor. And she says from April, and I only spoke to her last week, says from April to last week, she says, Noel, I've been in such a desert. It's like the word of God led her into a desert. Does that remind you of anyone like Jesus? That you think the word of God, I'm going to be this, and you think it's all going to be full steam ahead, everyone clapping, da-da-da-da, and all of a sudden you go into a season where she felt God had abandoned her. But she learned how to trust God, and she learned in all of this that God's call is real, that perseverance is required if she was going to. What did you do with the baby? Sorry. And lots of times in our lives and in the Word, we can see that seasons can be, you know, we use words like, I'm in a wilderness season. Or I'm in a stormy season, or I'm in a rainy season, or I'm in a, you know, in a land that is spacious type of season. And we all are in some season right now, or we're going to enter into one, or we're on our way out of one. No matter what that may be, in different parts of our lives, it may mean a season in this area, but then again, as a leader, I'm in a different season. And the good thing is, and the proper thing is to know the season you're in, know what God wants you to get out of that season, and then get out of that season. Don't stay in the season longer than you're supposed to. But as soon as you know and as soon as you have what God has, get out of that season. And I want to speak to us about the element of water. And God is in the water. God is in the elements. God is over the elements. God is not subjected to elements. God is not subjected to our seasons. He's not in them per se as if they're swamping him. He's above them, but yet he's in them. With us, no matter what season we're in. And I want us to look at a couple of rivers, although the first one is the sea, so you're going to have to forgive me. Just let's pretend it's a river, right? Because it just goes with my title, Many Rivers to Cross. But let me read this scripture out. It should come up on the screen. It says this, it says, as Pharaoh approached the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord, out to the Lord. They said to Moses, was it because there was no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you while we were in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance that the Lord will bring to you today. The Egyptians you will see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the waters so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the heart of the Egyptians so they will go in after them. And I will gain glory through Pharaoh and his army. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's armies, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front of them and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to one side and light to the other. So neither went near each other all night long. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove back the sea with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on either side to their right and to their left. The Egyptians pursued them and Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army and threw them into confusion. He jammed the wheels of the chariots so that there was difficulty driving them. And the Egyptian says, let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots. Moses stretched out his hands over the sea, and at daybreak, the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing towards it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen. The entire army of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea, none of them survived. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on the right and on the left. And that day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of Egypt. And Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in his servant Moses. A lot of reading. But Moses had met God in the desert. He knew what it was to live in Egypt. He knew the splendor of Egypt. He knew all of what was going on in Egypt. Do you remember he murdered a man and went on the run? 40 years in Egypt, 40 years on the run in the desert, minding some sheep up the backside of a mountain, and God appears to him in a bush. Isn't it amazing where God will appear? Isn't it amazing where God will show up? Isn't it amazing who God will show up to? A murderer. And he speaks to Moses and he goes, Moses, I want you to go back in there. I'm going to show Pharaoh and the evil and the darkness that's behind Pharaoh. I'm going to show them who was boss. And you remember, he went back in. He says to Pharaoh, you let my people go. Who do you think you are asking me to let them people go? Who are you on your own? No, God is with me. And God is going to show you who was boss. And remember, he brought all of Pharaoh's men to heal. He brought all of Pharaoh's warlocks and wizards and all the darkness and the cultic behavior that was going on. He brought them all to zilch. And all the people of God, the Israelites, the Hebrews, seeing this and were like, yeah, we will go with Moses. And Moses led them out into a season. He led them out from a season of captivity and bondage into a season that was going to set the future into play, meaning that they were never going to be in Egypt again. And Egypt and this situation is all about a season of leaving something behind. It was the season of leaving Egypt behind. It was a season when they were seeing, was God going to come true for me? Because in seasons, that's one of our things. Is God going to provide? Is God going to come true? Was it not better staying in Egypt? Was it not better staying with what I know? You know that old cliche, it's better the devil you know than the devil you don't. It's like, that's a load of baloney, by the way, when you're walking with God. When God is leading you out into something, that God is saying, will you trust me? But in seasons, there's the elements, the situations have a way of challenging us of believing God. And what I have found, I'm 25 years walking with the Lord. I've been through many seasons. Seasons where I barely survived. Seasons where I got out of and go, my goodness, I'm just glad I have my sanity. But I know in all of these seasons that there was an element of God's character being challenged in my life. Are being placed within my life in a big way. In their life, was God able to protect us? Why didn't you leave us in there? Why didn't you let us die in there? Why didn't you let us serve the old masters? Why did you bring us out here? They were questioning God's goodness. They were questioning God's protection over them. And God showed them that he is able to do and get them to where they need to go. So this situation was about leaving something behind, leaving behind the old. Leaving behind the old to walk in the new. Leaving behind the past to grab a hold of the future. To keep walking. That's why he says to Moses, why are you calling out to me? I already gave directives. Lead them out. Don't cry out to me. Just tell them to keep walking. Because the reality is, if you walk it out, God will work it out. Our responsibility is to walk it out, but his responsibility is to work it out. And he says, Moses, keep on going. You're going to have to leave something behind. And you know when we talk about leaving behind our old things, I imagine we always just think of leaving behind sin or leaving behind bad things in our lives like that is not pleasing to God. But it's actually saying goodbye to the old. It's actually saying goodbye to the old masters. Saying goodbye to the misery that we live in. Saying goodbye to the slavery that we can live in. Saying goodbye to addiction. Saying goodbye to unemployment. Saying goodbye to lack. Saying goodbye to the old taskmasters. Saying goodbye to the old way of living. Saying goodbye to the old way of getting our own way by manipulation. I don't have to live that way anymore because God has my future. I don't have to manipulate to gain favor. I walk in favor. Leaving behind pity parties. Saying goodbye to that's in the old. I don't live there anymore. I don't have to have everyone on my side and pitying me to gain what God has for me or to gain stuff. Because stuff like this in the old, it's not something that's out here. It's something that's in here. And it's like, I don't have to live out of that place and you don't have to live out of that place. We have to make decisions to leave that behind to trust in the future that God has for us. I have to leave behind. I don't have to bully my way into position. I have to leave that behind. Because God is going to place me. He's going to open doors that no one can open. He's going to close doors that no one can close. And I'm going to have to trust that he will do that. And I don't have to bulldoze my way into positions because that will actually rob me of the credibility that I need when God actually opens the door. I don't want to go near him because he's always bullying me. And God opens the door and the credibility line is being broken on us. We don't have to moan our way into favor.
I love people, right? But I'm also amazed at people. And Andy says to me yesterday, I should have been a director or something, of films. But if I was a director, I'd do a soap opera and it would be called Church. Because all of it plays out. All of the reality of life and people and where we've come from in life and the things we carry, it's all there. And you know, I'd have a whole couple of actors that would be just moany people. But we don't have to moan anymore to get our own way. We don't have to moan to get into favor with God. You know, like somebody, like it's like God doesn't sit there and go, look, just give it to her to shut her moaning. He doesn't do that. He can't be manipulated by that. We can as humans. You know, like that's why, like if I'm being moaned, look, just give it to Noel, just to shut him up. We don't have to do that anymore. We have to look at that and go, I'm leaving that behind. My life is to be celebrated, not tolerated. And your life is to be celebrated and not just tolerated. Oh, here's Noel again. Here's Noel again. Maybe he's going to encourage me. Maybe he's going to. And like, we don't have to do that. We have to say goodbye to the old behaviors. We don't have to threats or use anger to get people to back off. We don't have to use unforgiveness as a gun to someone's head anymore. We don't have to strive or kill ourselves to be better than the next person, dress better, be better, have another degree better. We don't have to strive for this anymore. We don't have to prove ourselves to the world. I was talking to, but Sharon was telling me about a young guy that we knew that grew up beside us. And it's amazing when people are striving to prove themselves what they'll do. It's amazing what young women will do to prove themselves. To who? The Lord's like, you can leave that in Egypt. You don't have to live that way. Just be beautiful you. Because if you ain't who you are supposed to be, who's going to be you? And he's like, it's okay. We don't have to live like that anymore. I've seen men, I've read about young men that, like, I remember this guy in America, because he was a piano player, his dad kept calling him a sissy. Because he was a piano player. And he ended up, this affected him so much that he felt in his head he was striving and striving to prove himself to somebody. It was his dad, but his dad was long gone dead. He ended up, his party piece was eating glass to show that he was a real man. It was amazing what people will do. To prove themselves, moving towards, look at who I am, I'm better than the next person, I have this and I have that. You don't, and I don't have to live there anymore, amen? We don't have to be the best, first, strongest, best looking to be in with the in crowd. We are invited into a relationship based on, from the beginning, on the truth that we are loved, we are accepted, we are protected, we have a future, there is a plan, and there is a provision. We've been invited into this relationship where all those things of Egypt don't have to affect us because we don't have to prove ourselves to God. We don't have to say, look how good we are. We don't have to, there is a plan, there is a future. We already are accepted. Therefore, we can say goodbye to Egypt. Do this to be accepted. Too late, I'm already accepted. I'm done. We don't have to live in the old atmosphere. The old atmosphere of Egypt was, yous are nothings. Yous are slaves. Yous are just servants. They were always put down. They were always, the reason why they were put down was because when Joseph had favor, all the Hebrews gained favor. And then someone came up with the bright idea that, look, they're getting too numerous. They will take over. So the Egyptians' ploy and strategy was to keep them down, keep the people of God under pressure, keep the people of God under oppression and living in an old atmosphere. Well, that's just the way it is. We don't have to live there anymore. It's not just the way it is. There's a new way. There's a better way. We go, look at it, it's just the same old. No, it's not. Only if we accept that it is, that's what it is. But we can say goodbye to that. We have to leave that behind to gain something fresh and new. My family are all like this. That's all right, but you don't have to be like that. God given us a new nature. We're tapping into divine thinking. So I don't have to think like that. It doesn't matter. I love this idea in my head I had one time. Imagine your family tree. And just say, oh, my family were monies. Or horse thieves. Maybe they were horse thieves. And like, you know, like you have, and all the kids, and someone goes and traces back their family history, right? And they're, like, I don't know, but anyone that goes to look for their history, it always seems that it starts off with horse thieves. And I was like, what were we all doing? Who owned the horses? That's what I want to know. And imagine, like, just say horse thief, just for the fun of it. And then in the branch comes up, and there's, you know, my great-granddad, John Joe, and John Joe was a, he sold the horses. And then his family line, and then it broke into, you know, that there was a big thing went on in my family, and my dad ended up really angry at God and at people. And then this anger branch, and then it went down to the other branches, and we ended up all being all this type of thing. And then one branch sticks out from the corner, and this is where someone became a Christian. And then their family line comes down, like, and they were blessed, and they achieved this, and they done this in the world, and they blessed the world, and they did this, and all this history. And then someone's looking back, and they look at all of this and go, wow, there's loads of darkness here, there's loads of tragic stuff here, there's loads of carnal stuff here, there's loads of just natural stuff here, but this branch sticks out here. And this was the people that blessed thousands of kids or thousands of youth, and this is our people, and that went on and like that. It doesn't have to be the same. And what happened here was because they were engrafted into another tree, into another future. And that they look back and they go, look at all of this that people didn't accept God in my family. But this branch, this great granddad, this great granny, she did or he did. And look at the blessing that flowed out of it. It doesn't have to be the same. Oh, that's just the way my family is. Doesn't mean that's the way you is. Amen. We have to say goodbye. We have to consciously say goodbye. I'm running out of time. So another river. No, that wasn't a river. But it was today. Say yes, no. Does it say Atten? I mean, this is going to be listened to in India, in America. And they're like, them mad Irish are calling rivers seas and seas rivers. We can do what we want. We're Irish. Here's another river. Moses, my servant, is dead. God spoke to Joshua. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan into the land I'm about to give them. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. And as soon as the priests who carried the ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its rivers, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. And he passed over the whole nation on dry ground. If going out of Egypt and crossing the Red Sea was leaving something, crossing the Jordan was embracing something. One was leaving the past, but this was embracing the future. They were going over the River Jordan. That was up there. Going over the River Jordan, embracing the future. It's not enough just to leave something behind, because God doesn't just take things out of our life. He places things into our life. And these guys were challenged to cross over to embrace the future. Trusting that the Lord had a preferred future for their lives and their children's lives. Knowing that there would be giants because they had the report, remember? Knowing that there was fortified cities. Knowing that there was rugged land. Knowing that there was giants in that land. They embraced going over because they knew that their future lay in that season that was ahead of them. No, we're not going to just stay on this side, although some did. But we're going to go over the other side. We're going to trust that God is with us. We're going to trust that God is going to take the walls down. We're going to trust that God will take down out the giants. We're going to trust that God will allow us to take territory. That they didn't just leave something, but they embraced something. And they embraced the future. They embraced the what's coming next. They embraced the adventure of God. Because it is an adventure. And I love that word adventure. And in the 90s, way back when, if I was talking about this, I would have been talking about Indiana Jones. Because that's a great adventure. And what I loved about Indiana Jones, it wasn't like suave James Bond of old, where he could get into 20 fights and not even have a cut. Or his dicky ball wasn't even moved. But Indiana Jones got battered sometimes. He had to hang out of moving trucks with just the whip.
You know, it wasn't just all suave. It was real. That there's times in the adventure where you will get some knocks. And there's times in the adventure where you will come up against something that seems that you're going to be defeated. You're going to come up against times where will Indiana Jones make it out of this situation? Tune in next week. And you tune in next week and he doesn't get out of it. There's times when you think you're not going to go through the wall, and then within a couple of weeks, within the time of God's season in your life, that you're scaling the walls. But that's the adventure. Imagine if we were all just nice little pretty Christians. I love sometimes I see your faces and you have a few bruises. You've been out in the town the night before or something. But if I've seen your lives. I know you. There's times we take knocks and there's times we have victories. There's times when we feel we're never going to get up again. But you're still here. And sometimes the devil throws his best at us and we're still here. And we have to celebrate that sometimes. Instead of moaning about the season we've been in, it's like I'm celebrating because I've come through that season. And I left something behind, but I've also embraced something that is greater than my life than before I went into that season. If we only knew what we are going to get in that season. Now, hands up who's ever been through a season. That's a stupid question, but I just want to put your hands up, even if you've never been in one. No, miss. Just from my ego. Now, what you got out of that season, you probably would never trade that season for anything because of what you have. And how much you know God. And what character of God has been established in your life. You'd go, you know what? It was tough, but I tell you it was worth it. If we knew that going into seasons. Or we knew that about seasons. That we would go, can I have a season, God? Because we would know. Instead of this weird thing that has come into Christian heads sometimes. That God has punished me in a season. That this is God's fault. Whatever. But when we come out, we go, I wouldn't trade that for anything because of what I have in my life. It has to be embraced. It has to be embraced when you're going into a season that you're embracing the future, you're embracing the adventure, but you're also embracing that God knows what's best. He knows how to get us to our destiny. He knows it. And another river was when Elijah was being taken up to heaven. The prophet Elijah, and he says to Elisha, his successor to be, he says, if you see me when the chariots come for me, he says, you ask of me what you want and you can have it. He says, I want double of what I've seen in your life. He says, I've seen you do miracles. I've seen you take on the devils. I've seen you take on the powers of this world. I've seen you come through with God with a high hand. And he says, whatever you've done, I want double that. That's a great one, isn't it? And you know the story, Elijah's been taken up to heaven and the chariots come and the wind comes. And Elijah keeps his eye on him. Can you imagine seeing chariots coming out of heaven? Can you? And you know what? It doesn't say he went up in the chariots. But you can imagine all of this heavenly, divine stuff going on. But Elisha didn't take his eye off the prize, which was Elijah. Because he says, if you keep your eye on me, if you see me go up, you can ask of me. And as he was being whipped up, he wasn't disturbed. He wasn't distracted. And he says, Father, drop the mantle, drop your cloak. And Elijah dropped the mantle and it comes down, right? And so anyway, he takes the mantle up. This is found in 2 Kings chapter 2, 1 to 14. He takes the mantle up and he goes over to the river and he beats the river with this mantle, this new anointing, this new empowerment from God that was upon him. And he takes this and he beats down the river with this, and the river parts open and he walks across. And if Egypt was leaving something behind and crossing the Jordan with Joshua was in embracing the future, what Elisha was doing was establishing his future. He was establishing his now. It's great that we had a father like Elijah, but I'm going to establish now my pathway. I'm going to establish my destiny, my walk into my destiny. And the seasons that we can be in, it's about establishing us in what we are and who we are in God.
establishing the double portion, establishing the miraculous in their life. You know we can do this. You and I have been given. If leaving Egypt was leaving an old atmosphere, well then Elijah's crossing was establishing the atmosphere that I'm going to live in. Establishing. I'm not going to live in Moni land. I'm not going to live in what was in the past of my family. I'm not going to accept what was in the lineage that is harmful in my life. But I'm going to actually establish in my home that my home is a home of worship. It's a home where God is honored. That I set the atmosphere, that I take the mantle that has been given to me, the authority that God has given to me as a man, as a believer, as a husband, whatever sphere you're in, and I take the mantle and I beat my pathway. This is the way it's going to be in my life. I'm going to be someone that honors God. Beating the ground. I'm going to establish miracles in my life. I'm going to establish living a supernatural lifestyle. How do I do that? I establish fasting in my life. I establish praying in my life. I establish knowing the word of God in my life. I establish being around people that have seen this in their life and gained wisdom and understanding of them. I'm going to establish in my job, I'm going to establish ground that I pray for workers in my building. That because you and I have been given that authority as a believer to stand and believe. And someone says, well, we don't see that happening. Well, have you ever tried to establish it? To establish it? Have you ever tried to establish fasting consistently in your life? Because that's a spiritual, a natural thing to do, but has huge spiritual implications. So, well, I'm not seeing this. Have you tried it? The people that write about not seeing this stuff hasn't tried it even. Establish it. Establish. That's what he done. He took the mantle and he started beating it. This is the pathway that I'm going to take into my future. I'm going to create the atmosphere that I live in. I'm going to establish the pathways to the things of God. This year, what is your goal for this year as a Christian? And what pathway are you establishing to reach that goal? Amen? I'm going to establish the pathway into the things of God. Things, don't get into the link groups. Get into the theology course. Get into the Bible study. Create an atmosphere to be more intimate with God. Learning to hear God's voice. I'm going to have to beat a pathway to learn how to hear God's voice this season that I'm in. Learning how to be connected. Amen. And the last river, Shaun Seagull. I want us all to stand with this. I want the worship team to please come back. Because today, maybe, you need to leave, make a decision to walk out of Egypt. That thinking, that atmosphere, that behavior. I'm making a decision to leave that place. Or maybe you're in a place where you need to, wow, I didn't know I just to leave something. I left there years ago, but I forgot that I had to embrace my future, embrace the adventure. Or maybe you're in the season where you have to establish something. I'm going to establish this in my life this season. I'm not going to be bullied around by an enemy. I'm going to establish who I am in Christ and the authority that I've been given in Christ Jesus. I'm not going to be someone that is just blown around, tossed by every wind of doctrine. I'm going to understand the scriptures. The pathway I'm going to beat this year is to know the scriptures and to study the scriptures and to be in places with people that know how to teach the scriptures. Whatever it may be, I'm going to establish my home as a place where God would be excited about coming to. Therefore, my home would be a place of worship. My home would be a place of welcome. My hope, my children. I'm going to pray over the beds. And the river that Ezekiel's seen. He said the angel led him in 1,000 cubits, which was up to his ankles, another 1,000 up to his knees, and another 1,000 up to his waist. And you know what I thought about this? That in each one of those 1,000s, if I'm up to my ankles, I'm in control. If I'm up to my knees, I'm in control. If I'm up to my waist, I'm in control of it all. But he says the river got so deep, that it was over his head. You have to jump in. And I thought to myself, well, if the other three are about me being in control, the last one is about surrendering. Surrendering to the flow of God, surrendering to where God will take you, surrendering to what Pete and God will bring into your life, my life. It says that that river is teeming with life. And even the trees on either side, their leaves are healing to the nations. Surrendering to God, there's endless possibilities to how He would use us in our lives and in the nation. And so this is what I want us to do for this song, just in a way of response to God, in a way of just getting ministry from the Holy Spirit. That if your life falls into one of those categories and goes, I'm leaving something behind, I'm making a decision today, do it. Listen, you only have today. Don't dwell on yesterday and like, look, I made this decision before and I failed. Look, yesterday is gone and you don't own tomorrow. None of us own tomorrow. So all I have now is now. The decision I can make now in this place, in this atmosphere, before God, before His people, that's the only thing I own right now, is that my will to make a decision before God. And today you may make that decision. I want to leave, I want to embrace, I want to establish. And Lord, I'm coming before You. And I want to do this. And if you notice, in all of those rivers, they all have to take a step. And I'm inviting you at this song to take a step up to the frontier. As a mark before God, as a response to God's word, God, response to God doing something inside you. Lord, here I am.